Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody. I am Lucia Matuonto, and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Today, we are thrilled to be driving to New Jersey to chat with Samantha Azzeni. Samantha is a multi-talented individual who wears many hats. She's an author, professor, and avid reader. She's also the owner of Red Furiously Publishing, and her new book, Wine and Cheese, is set to be released in June. So, my dear Samantha, welcome to the RV.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was counting the days to talk with you. Samantha, being a native of New Jersey, I'm sure you have some favorite hidden gems or secret spots. Could you share one with our listeners?
Our office is based in West Trenton. So we live in Mercer County, and it's very exciting because they just announced, they passed a law that said Central New Jersey exists. So we're very excited in Central Jersey because we're either North or South. So now we're real. But I would probably say the best hidden gem in Central New Jersey is Grounds for Sculpture, which is this gorgeous sculpture garden that was made at the Trenton Fairgrounds. And it's filled with so many beautiful pieces of artwork. And it's outside. It has galleries inside. We are always, always there. There's always something going on. I got married there. It's 20 minutes from where we are. And it's probably one of my favorite places to go because you can just go and just be with the artwork. You can talk to the statues. They like that too. Everyone treats them like they're real.
Really?
But it probably. And we have this running joke in Mercer County when you see a statue, because they're all over. And if you see one, people always say, is that a statue or a real person? Because it's hard to tell sometimes. And they're kind of peppered all throughout. But that's probably one of my favorite places to go because we forget that New Jersey, everyone always thinks of like the main things, right? The uh-huh. Jersey Shore or North Jersey, so gotcha. Close to New York. But this is one of the special ones because it's ours. Like, it's New Jersey. It's everything mm-hmm. there. And they have so many different artists that come and go. So you get something new every season.
It sounds like it's a very cultural city.
It is. We're very, very fortunate because in the Trenton, West Trenton area, and even in kind of like the area, we have a lot of colleges. So we have a lot of creative students. And then in the Trenton area, we have the Trenton Artists Collectives that are there. They run the punk rock flea market. They used to do art all night. So we're very fortunate to be surrounded by very creative individuals. And it's just, I don't know, there's always something going on, which is nice. We have a lot of parks that do music in the park because that's starting in the summer. So yeah, New Jersey has, I can talk about New Jersey all the time. That's why we have the New Jersey anthology books, because uh-huh. I feel like there's so many beautiful things in this state.
Your deep connection with New Jersey is evident, of course, in your work. And I checked your anthology, Life in the Garden State. How does your love for the state influence your writing and publishing endeavors?
That's a great question, because I always think about that, because New Jersey is often the butt of the joke. Sometimes people, when we say we have a New Jersey anthology, or when we first started working on it, people would kind of say, why? Why would you have that? And it was always so hurtful because it's, you know, New Jersey has so many things, but unfortunately some of the pop culture representations kind of preceded So when people think of New Jersey, they think of things like the Jersey Shore or, you know, just kind of things like that. And that's not at all what it is. So when we started the anthology, what we really wanted was we had just one idea, and it was, let's just collect what we can about New Jersey. And we didn't have anything else. Like, we didn't ask for anything else. We just said, send us what you think about New Jersey. And the first volume is called The World Takes, because that's our bridge. Trenton makes, The World Takes. It's the most beautiful bridge. We love it. So we called it The World Takes in honor of Trenton. And it was very interesting because people were sending us, they sent us poetry about the Jersey Devil. There were stories about traffic. There were stories about pork roll or Taylor ham. I'm not getting into that conversation. It's whatever you decide. But it was very interesting because it was food and culture and history and weird New Jersey, which is kind of its own kind of category, which I love. But yeah, it was very interesting to see other people's interpretation of it. And I honestly think that since we've put out these two volumes and are now working on the third, I think I love New Jersey more now. I think I appreciate it more now because of seeing it through everybody else's eyes and seeing the funny and the sad and the family and the culture and how everyone kind of interprets it. And so, I don't know, it's a funny little state. Uh-huh. That has a lot of different things. And even my students, I had one student say to me, where else in the world can you go in the morning and see sharks at the Camden Aquarium and then go to the woods and then go and see the New York skyline?
Wow. So, Samantha, what inspired you to co-found Read Furiously Publishing, and how does the company reflect your values and aspirations?
So I always say the original idea for Read Furiously came when I was mad, because I think sometimes the best ideas when you want to make change have to come from some fire in the belly. So I was at the tutoring center, because I used to work at the Bucks County Community College Tutoring Center, with a dear colleague of mine. And it was a slower day. It was in the summer. And we were talking, and she is a very, very talented poet. Absolutely amazing. And she had been rejected again for her poetry because they said that her poetry had too much trauma in it. It was too much. It was too this. It was too that. And it was very upsetting to me because I know so many great writers who just don't fit into that cookie cutter big five kind of category where it's, they need to have a massive following. They need to talk about something on trend. And it's very frustrating because it's a form of gatekeeping, which is very, very upsetting because there's so many issues of that. And it was also something I saw in my life as well. As someone who's multiracial, I saw many different members of my family on my mother's side as, you know, immigrants who came through Ellis Island and, you know, who had to kind of make a name for themselves. And also my dad and his family when they came here from Brazil to America. And I just saw so much gatekeeping, and I saw how there's so many ways that we try to control other people's narrative and try to make them fit something. So I was driving home, and I was thinking about my friend, the poet, and I was thinking about all of this, and I had fire in the belly, and I went home and I said to my, husband, who's also the co-publisher. And I said, what if we did this? And he said, just start one. And I said, why not? Because also publishing has changed so much. There's so many different ways to be an indie publisher. You don't need to have that startup cash that came from privileged families. You really can do it yourself. And there's so many beautiful communities like this one, this beautiful community, which is just so wonderful. And there's so many ways for us to get the word out. So Read Furiously was my response to the authors who are so talented, but did not fit what was expected in terms of the mainstream. So I always joke with my authors, and I say, oh, we're the island of misfit toys. We're very niche. We have lots of different interests, but they're all very talented and they all have their own way of looking at the world. But their books are also things that you really need to know to love them, because they're not standard. They're not trendy. And so we have a lot of authors who have their own audience, their own following. I'm also a weird reader. I love picking up anything that's going to surprise me. So if I see a manuscript and it's unlike anything I've ever seen, I will be a champion for that. And so I look at our roster and it just makes me so happy because I can honestly say I can champion every single title we've put out. Even if it takes a while to find that reader, I will do it.
Love it. I love it. You know, Samantha, breaking into the publishing industry can be quite challenging for aspiring writers because of many reasons. So could you take us through the process of selecting titles for publication at Read Furiously Publishing and the criteria you consider when acquiring new works?
Absolutely. So so we are small but mighty press. So one of the many blessings is that we get a lot of beautiful submissions, and I don't have the bandwidth, the time to publish everything, which would be lovely. It would always be lovely, but time is just very finite and it's very frustrating. So one of the things that we do is we do our submissions kind of in stages a little bit. So we have three different categories. One is for our one and done series, which are the small pocket size books. That's the one that's the Legend of Dave Bradley and Wine and Cheese. Here I show so you can see they're short. They're literally pocket size. They can fit in a back pocket. We made sure of that. but those are shorter and we can put more of those out. So we have a rolling submission process for these pocket books that are about 20,000 words. And I always say that writing something so short can be very, very challenging and it can also be very worthwhile. But we've had authors that have submitted these books and then done something longer with us once we were able to find time for them in the timeline. Because my goal really is to work with authors that I know it's kind of standard now to hop around different publishers. A lot of authors have different publishers for different works. But I really want to make like a community and publish the same authors and kind of make this collective. So the one and dones are always rolling because that way it's easier and faster to put those out. So we can kind of get work out sooner and then work on long form if we want to stay working with the author. And then we also have our anthology series. And that's another thing too. We've had authors that contributed to our anthologies and then we've worked with them on longer projects. Mm-hmm. So that's been very fun because it's a way for us to keep communicating. And then once a year in the fall, we do open for long form submissions. And that's kind of novels, graphic novels, short story collections. And you can kind of see if you go to our website, all the different genres we have. We try to kind of expand out a little bit. So we have graphic novels, we have short story collections, fiction, nonfiction. We try to mix it up. We try to bring authors from all different walks of life in there just to kind of, you know, have something for everybody. That's kind of my goal, is to have something for everybody. I'm not there yet, but that's my goal, is to have a nice big collection of stuff. That just kind of makes it easier because it's so hard. It's
yeah,
it's just hard. You know this, it's hard to put a book out.
It is
very time consuming. It's very financially consuming.
It is. And I love the idea of the pocket book. It's about 24,000 words.
That's if you write poetry, it would be different. If you do a graphic novel, it would be different. But All of that is on there for you. But yeah, 20,000. I think in terms of, I'm a fiction writer, so I think in terms of words.
Good. And also, Samantha, I've noticed on your website, yes, that Read Furiously Publishing is committed to inclusivity and sustainability. Could you tell us more about these aspects of your company mission?
So with inclusivity, that's just trying to be very, very open with the different authors that come through. So we really do kind of look for authors that, for instance, they're talking about subjects that are not kind of, you know, part of the big five. Authors that we focus a lot with BIPOC authors, female authors, LGBTQ plus authors. So we try to have a mix of different, so it's not just the same people. And even if it is the same authors publishing, we do try to space that out so there's always someone new kind of in there, so you're not getting the same content from the same people. And in terms of sustainability, And this is always a challenge, isn't it? To try to keep everything sustainable. But through our website, we try to kind of, we give back with the carbon, with carbon neutral, with mm-hmm. in terms of how we sell things. If you buy something directly from our publisher site, we use Eco and Close, which is an amazing company to send stuff out, because everything is, I give a shout out to them because they're so good to us. They are so wonderful to us, but everything is made of recycled materials. We try to limit the amount of plastic that we use. And then also with the purchase of every book, the net proceeds go to literacy programs throughout, not just the state of New Jersey, but kind of everywhere. We work with Reading is Fundamental, which is a program that when I was growing up, I didn't have a very good school library. So when we had RIF days, when they would come and give us books, it was always a very special thing. And I really believe if we didn't have RIF, I probably wouldn't be the reader I am today, because they made a point to bring that into my school. But also we have our authors who approach us and say, hey, I know my book's coming out. This is a cause I care about. Can we donate, you know, my net proceeds? So with one of our books, I Feel Love, Notes on Queer Joy, which the only way I can describe this book is it is the happiest book in the world. It's just joy all around. And we were able to donate to the to TENT, which is the Transgender Education Network of Texas, because it's something that was important to the author. We've also had authors that one of our pocket size books, The Path Home, one of our authors approached and said, I don't want to do a book tour. I want to do a little free library tour. And she purchased her books at cost on her dime, and she drove all around and dropped her book off for the communities there at the little free library. And she would take a picture and they would share a little bit of what the library is about. And we all got into it because we have a little free library in Ewing, which is right near like the West Trenton border. And we fill it with the community as well. So as long as we get books in the hands of people and we try to be as inclusive as possible and just be open and lead with kindness, that's what I try to do on a daily basis.
Yeah. Exactly. And Samantha, supporting literacy programs and book related charities is truly commendable.
Thank you. I'm very fortunate that I live in New Jersey, where we have so many programs, but there are a lot of programs in the United States that are kind of book deserts. So these programs really help, because a lot of these areas, they can't get the books out. And there's another place we work with called Bridge of Books. They actually, if you purchase our New Jersey anthologies, we've talked to them, and that money goes to them, our donations for that. But what they do is they get donations from people who just drop off boxes and boxes of books, and they drive to schools, and every child gets their own book to take home, which there's a power in having your own book. Yes. And knowing that it's yours and it sits on your shelf, and it's a beautiful feeling. And I think about that. My son is six, and he has books. We have books everywhere. They're spilling out of the house. It's more book than house. And I think about how fortunate we are that we can do that. So we want to make sure other families can do that too.
That's wonderful. I sent some of my books to some libraries. I sent to some schools in Orlando, and just the fact that they read my books for me was just,
I know,
what I want. You know, the kids wrote me. I love it.
I love that. That makes me so happy, especially when kids write to their favorite authors. I did that as a kid, and it was the greatest. It was Anna and Martin. She wrote the Babysitter's Club, and she wrote back to me. I'm sure it was her staff that wrote back, but it was from her. It had a picture of her. And I remember being, you know, just a kid and thinking to myself, oh, this author took the time to write to me after I wrote. And I just forget it. At that point, it was gone. I was going to be an author no matter what.
Let's talk about your upcoming book, Wine and Cheese. Actually, it's wine, but with a H there. You need to explain to us why and what inspired you to explore this theme. I think it's college experience.
It is a college experience. So my favorite books to read are campus novels. I love them. And I maybe it's because I work on a college campus and I really love my college experience, but I love campus novels. I think some of them can go completely off the rails because that's what college is all about. It's a very weird time where you think you're an adult, but you are not at all. So it just goes off the rails completely. So wine and cheese with the H in parentheses for whining, like complaining, comes from whenever my roommates would take me somewhere, like to a party. I hated it and I would complain until we could go home. So I always think of the idea where if you're an introvert and you don't do well in party settings, it stops being a wine and cheese and just becomes a whining party where you just hate everything about it.
I got you. I got
And this is so it's short, so it's kind of like that short story with the because it's a one and done, so it's pocket sized. But basically, it's about a group of college friends who decide to throw a grown up ver what they think a grown up version is of a wine and cheese party. So they're not grown ups, they don't have grown up money, and they just decide to have this what they think is a luxurious wine and cheese, but it's terrible because they don't have that experience. And so it's kind of like The Legend of Dave Bradley, which is about customer service. It plays with the silliness of it all, the absurdity of it all, but it's also kind of a little bit of a love letter to that age. To that idea where you so badly want to be grown up, you so badly want to be an adult, and you're just not there yet. And just to have the protagonist in the story fail miserably at this thing that they think they should have to do. And so it's a really nice conversation on graduating and enjoying your time there. And I pulled from my own college experience, but also from what I've noticed from my students. Because I have the privilege of teaching college freshmen, which are their own wonderful group of students. They're brand new. They're nervous about everything. They're not sure. And I get this beautiful privilege of watching them grow up in my time there. So I see them when they're brand new, newly hatched. They're right out of the nest. They're not sure. They're hopping around. They're not sure. And then I get to see them graduate, and it's just they're entirely different people, and it's such an extraordinary thing. So I feel very lucky that I get to see that after already experiencing that myself. So.
I think being a teacher and having the chance to see these students growing up and changing completely, it must be so rewarding.
It is. It's also very emotional too, because I feel like I as someone. So when I first started teaching, I wasn't that much older than them. I was younger. I was probably about 25, 26, and now I'm almost 40. So definitely, I have a big gap now between, my life experience and their life experience. And so it is very emotional because I see how much pressure they're under and I see how much they have to do. And I don't want to be that person that says, you need to enjoy this. You need to, because they're like, okay, old person, that's not. But it is true. And we know that because we've already experienced all of this. We've experienced that 20s that is so. The 20s is a very confusing time, and I get to see them kind of navigate the early stages of it. I did have a student who was a freshman. I taught them as a freshman, and then she's now going to be an adjunct instructor at the college. So I watched this individual become a student to becoming an adjunct instructor at the college, and I remember watching the student teach, and I was trying so hard not to cry. Like it sounds so, but I was so proud. I just it was the most extraordinary thing, and I became a teaching grandma that day because my student is now teaching students.
Teaching grammar, no way. No.
it was really amazing. It was. So when I was writing this, I was trying to tap into all of that, and but also, as we know, it's not that simple to write because you're tapping into that, but you have to keep it within a specific word count, and you also have to think of structure and character, and so it's a lot easier said than done. And I always think it's so funny whenever someone reads something I write and said, this was good. When's your next one? Like I'm still trying to get over this one, the one that took you. Short amount of time to read, and I agonized over it for months.
And Samantha, would you like to leave a message for our listeners today?
I would love to. First of all, I want to say to them, thank you for listening to this episode, because I know everybody has a lot pulling at their time. So to even take a moment, I'm so grateful for that. But I also just want I just want to remind everybody, because this is something I have to remind myself, is that reading is so precious, and we really, all of us, we all need to make time. Not just to write, but also to just read and be in that moment, because there are so many books out there and we're never going to finish those TBR piles. But I want everyone who's listening today to just find that pocket of time. And I hope they're able to find it just for today and read something that they love and that's worthwhile, because it's really hard to do. I tell myself that all the time. I'm like, I'm going to read, and then I fall asleep. Because that's what I do now. It's the season of life I'm in. I just fall asleep at 10 p.m.
Wow, and you have a kid. He's 6 years old.
Yes. So we
Wow.
read a lot of kids' books, which is, I think, I can't write a kid's book, but I mean, anyone who can write a children's book, I'm in awe of, because I see how my son devours these books and how much they mean to him. And if you can do that, you are amazing to me, because you are doing something that, I mean, I write for adults, so they are already reading, but children's authors, they need to
Exactly.
inspire that early group. Yeah.
I'll send him my books.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because I see how much he loves it, and I just think to myself, that really starts, because we all had that one book that made us a reader, and you know, it's, we never forget that. Even if we can't remember the title already, we all remember that. And I remember reading Judy Blume as a kid and not realizing until I was adult she's from New Jersey. So I am just,
No.
I didn't know that either.
Kids are inspired by authors. I mean, anyone is inspired by authors, and I think everyone who reads can write a book.
I believe that too. I say that to my students. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So, Samantha, finally, where can our audience find you online, your upcoming book, and about your company?
So I am terrible at my own author stuff because I'm so busy doing the company stuff. So if you want to find out more, I'm in there. It's readfuriously.com. And on social, on Instagram and Facebook, it's at Read Furiously. But I do, I have, I this sounds so horrible because I say this to my authors. I'm like, we need to work on this, but I do have an author website. I do have an author Instagram, and I'm so busy doing stuff for Read Furiously, I forget to update it. So I'm trying to get better. But if you do go to my author Instagram, which is under my profile on the Read Furiously site, it's mostly pictures of my cats. So if you like cat pictures, I have tons, and it's also pictures of campus and the parts of campus that where I work that inspire me. But yes, lots of cat pictures. So
Wonderful. I love cats.
that's kind of what my personal, I love cats too. And we have two now, so they definitely, I try to separate them. They have literary names, so I try to give them their own space on the Instagram page so they have their own spotlight.
Samantha, thank you very much for this amazing ride, and I will be visiting New Jersey as soon as you let me know when you publish your book. And of course, we can go out and have a coffee as well.
Oh, yes, thank you. This was so wonderful. I'm so thankful for the time today, and this was so great, and I just, yeah, I loved it. I also love talking about Brazil. Reminiscing about that. Because I do miss my family there too, and it's just, it was a nice little yeah, it was just a nice thing. My dad passed away about a year ago. We're going on 2 years now, so it was beautiful to invoke all that. So thank you. It was like something was just sent in. So being here has been extraordinary. So thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when the next one is posted.
please rate this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you for listening, and remember, relationships don't exist. Relating does. Until next time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.